Well, it is a cultural institution that's been part of Thunder Bay and the region for decades, but no secret that Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra are also facing some big challenges, challenges that include debt and also an aging core audience. So with that in mind, the symphony is now outlining its vision for the future, making some changes as well and reaching out to the public to for what it's calling a case for support. Here to tell us more is Gerald McEachern. He is the executive director of the Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra, and with him, Jeff Sansom, chair of development and
Vice president of the board.
Thank you. I can't read my writing.
More coffee.
Or more coffee. Yes. Thank you both for coming in this morning, coming in and meeting us here. So a case for support for the orchestra. What's the message, Gerald, you want to get across here?
I think the message is that the orchestra has not really given the public a real compelling reason to understand what the benefits are to this region. It's an amazing gift. It's funded in great part by local fundraising and government agencies. And it brings a cultural dynamic and also an economic dynamic that we wouldn't otherwise have.
Okay, so tell me more about making the case, Jeff. I mean, why should we care about having an orchestra in Thunder Bay?
Having a symphony orchestra is like a gem in a cultural landscape that really helps advance the community beyond just the music itself. Like Gerald alluded to, the growth in the economy around the players in the symphony, the audience members that are attending, and all the events that we're providing are much broader and make a bigger impact in our community and across the region, because we are touring throughout the north, and we're contributing a significant amount of value beyond just the culture and the art.
But for as long as I've been here, it's been a real challenge to get bums in the seat. And that's that. So how do you do that, Gerald?
I think it's a challenge that orchestras right across the continent are facing. I mean, it's not new. It's like any of the arts. I mean, in many respects, a lot of people who are just ordinary citizens don't understand modern painting, modern art. These are things that are consciousness raising, and the arts do that. So it's part of an educational program. We completely reversed how we're approaching our marketing. So we're starting with foundation, which is really education in the community. So we start in schools and move on up.
So tell me about that. I mean, tell me about that commitment that you've made.
Well, that commitment really comes from where is the future? You mentioned succession and aging audiences and so on, and appreciation for the music. This orchestra, I should say, plays well above its limited size. It's a 30-piece orchestra. It plays like a 60-piece orchestra, and guest conductors who come here are just overwhelmed. They're surprised. So if you take that orchestra into a school setting and you actually deliver it to kids, and we reach at least 6,500 kids a season. We do four major programs into the schools. We're delivering the first leading point of music education in Thunder Bay schools and in the region. So we do two tours as well, east and west, through the region. So this is an important asset.
When you go into the school, what do you do?
Well, we have a link-up program that's designed by Carnegie Hall folks, and we deliver that. It's a great big, thick, huge book, and we do prep in the schools, and then put on link-up concerts at the auditorium where we have like 700 kids in a room all playing recorders all at once along with the orchestra with the music up on the screen. So they play along. It's really exciting. I mean, I hadn't seen it before, and I saw it first time last season. It blew me away.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish parents could see it.
But the challenge the board has, though, is a lot of debt, Jeff. I mean, that there's $400,000 in debt. I mean, how do you even get your head around that and try to deal with it?
Well, I think the good news is it's getting better every day, and we have been improving year over year. But it is a challenge, and we are concerned about it, but we do have a detailed plan, and we're attacking it, so to speak. And the generosity of the community has been phenomenal. There is lifetime givers that continue to support us, but it's the new people that are coming to the table as well that make a big difference for us. And with the reinvigoration of our programming, we're seeing new people come out, and we want to engage those new people. So this case for support, what we're doing with development and how we're approaching the community is really evolving with that as well. So we're doing some good things about
Now, Gerald, you mentioned there that the programming has changed. I mean, that you gave me a card that shows the programming for the 2018-19 season. So what's different that we might not have seen before?
What's different is, you know, we're approaching it from all angles. One of the reasons we got into debt was trying to market into new audiences. So the approach was bring in expensive guest artists, you know, raise the quality of the programming and more people will come. Well, yes, they did, but the cost of doing that created the debt. And this is incremental over, say, 5 or 6 years. So backing out of that means you have to do something different. So what we're doing is saying there's no magic bullet. We need to condense what we're doing and use the talent that we have available here. And let's try to tear down the walls between the types of concerts so we don't create barriers for our audience. So what we don't want to see is, I only come to see serious music, I'm not going to see something else. We want to say, well, yes, you might come for serious music, but these programs also offer a slightly wider dimension. So bring someone else and hear something new. So there are contact points for a wider range of audience. One of the things I've learned over my work history is the smaller the market, the more general you have to be.
Yes.
The larger the market, the more specific. Well, we're in a small market, so we have to be generalists. And I think we're migrating just in a common sense way with our programming and our financial behavior exactly in that direction.
But it's interesting because you don't want to offend the people that are diehard symphony
and
supporters,
that's
right?
Easy enough to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They've had a predictable pattern for, you know, decades, and it's very difficult to shift. And the risk that we've taken consciously is we know we can alienate core audiences, and that's really not the point. The point is your music's still there, please come, but find something more so we can build on it together.
It's a balancing act, isn't it? It really is a balancing act. Yeah.
It's a significant challenge, but we're certainly pleased with Gerald as our executive director, Paul Haas, coming in and doing some amazing programming, and all the volunteers and people dedicated behind the scenes that are making it happen.
When I looked at your pitch, there was even a plan in there, if you know, all things being equal, to have a new performance venue.
Right. This is something that other cities like Edmonton are just starting to encounter. Edmonton just built a 600-seat theater for their orchestra in a community performance space. What happens is these specific audiences are not large enough to fill the auditorium that we have. So the costs of actually running a concert in there are quite high. What Thunder Bay would do well to have is a smaller 500 or 600-seat theater. And this is a longer-term thing. So we've talked about this with, say, John Stevenson from Form Architects around what could we do with this. Yeah, exactly, the Eaton Center. So we put that into our case for support as kind of a what if, you know, down the road. So there's a lot of push over the next 4 or 5 years for capital fundraising with the Art Gallery and so on. So this is not on the front of our radar. But down the road,
but
yes.
You never know. Hey?
But you never know, exactly.
Thank you both for coming in here
this
morning.
Thanks so much. I want
to
say
your
one thing.
Your first, go right ahead.
New website goes up, tbso.ca, on Monday.
Okay.
That's it.
Look out, watch out.
Exactly.
When's your first concert?
First concert is Symphony Versions, October 12th. Next one follows up with our first launch concert, October 18th at the auditorium, called Tear Down the Walls.
Appropriately enough.
Thanks
a lot.
Lisa.
I'm speaking with Jeff Sampson, who is Vice President of the Board of Directors of the Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Gerald McEachern is Executive Director.